Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, the best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee, which means so much to the buying experience. And a service department that is second to none for the life of the vehicle. It's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day.
Epps gets it off and hits. Hunter for three. Tip is good. I think Timmy Allen will get credit for that. And that's going to do it. What a gritty comeback performance by Illinois as they beat Texas in overtime here in the Garden.
Dan Schulman with the calls. Jimmy V Classic at the Garden last night, and I will see Illinois in person on Saturday where the Nittany Lions play at the State Farm Center against Champaign in Champaign-Urbana. That'll be Saturday at noon, as a matter of fact. All right. What a big day for you.
All right.
While other teams were getting better, you remained the same. That's about what happened. I'm not joking.
No,
that's not a joke on my part.
You are exactly right. Yes, you are exactly right.
The Yankees needed to sign him because if they didn't, they would have fallen to the middle of the pack.
And that's why we're celebrating. Not because they got better. It's because we kept the guy who's been the face of the franchise, deserves to be, needs to be. And we'll probably get to see now, too.
All right. So, now, let's take the Phillies. The Phillies, for example, in this offseason, they went to the World Series, and what they've done is they've gotten better.
Yes.
Okay? They got Turner. On paper, they're better. They picked up Walker. That's a good signing by the Phillies. He's not expected to be the number one or number two starter. But they got better, right? Now, we'll see what happens with Bogarts, but the Red Sox got better today. They needed a closer. So they signed Kenley Jansen to go with the setup guy they got from the Dodgers. Now, if they get Bogarts, they're now better. The Yankees didn't get better. They stayed the same with an important piece to stay the same. And they needed badly to sign him. The fan base needed badly for him to sign. Is this good for baseball? It's good when New York is good. There's no question about that. But you are now running into an issue here where the number of teams that actually can win in baseball is down. I'm talking about win at all. It's down to between four and six. Is that good for the game? And this has nothing to do with the Yankees. Zero. Because, you know, Judge will be an attraction no matter what. He'll sell more tickets on the road no matter what. I got that. But baseball has become so much of the haves versus the have-nots. And one of the reasons the NFL is succeeding is you feel like you're going every 4 years, you feel like everybody's got a chance. In baseball, you don't feel like guys have a chance. The system, which is dictated by the Players Association in so many ways, they don't have any idea how much they're hurting the game by the system.
100%. And Boston's in there, too, in that group of teams.
Oh, no. Boston's absolutely no. I did not in any way, shape, or form say they weren't. How many times have you heard me say that Boston's better, you know, when they're spending money?
Yeah.
I mean, that's not, so believe me, I'm not like, oh, it's all the Yankees. No, it's not. It's the Dodgers. It's the Red Sox. It's the Phillies. To a point, it's the Astros. I mean, you know, the Cardinals, you know, the Cardinals have spent a lot of money. Goldschmidt and Arenado are not cheap. I mean, they signed Wilson Contreras today as well, so.
But you're right. It is a problem, and I think it did help MLB very slightly that the Pirates were able to at least win the draft lottery last night, but now it's on the Pirates to fulfill that, and you can't put any stock into that.
The Pirates in the draft lottery? You gotta be kidding me. That's so irrelevant. It's unbelievable how irrelevant that is. And the reason it is irrelevant, is because in the NFL, when you draft, that player has an opportunity out of the gate to make you better. The NBA, to a point, especially if it's a lottery pick, it can make you better. It doesn't get you the playoffs right away. You know, usually it's older teams that win. But in baseball, the process is so long to get there. I mean, that's the issue. That's another way, you know, everybody's like, oh, Henry Davis. We're all excited about Henry Davis. Well, that's nice. I'm glad you're excited about Henry Davis. Good for you. But when's he going to play for you? And how long are you going to keep him? I mean, that's the issue. How long are you going to keep him? I mean, that's the issue here. And I don't... That's the part that I look at. When you see what they're doing, it's like, that's not... I don't know. It's not good for the game. And this has nothing to do with Judge. That's not... I'm not... But it's there's a bigger picture here. Like, oh, the Yankee fans are all excited. And they should be. They kept their star, and this is what's going to be the issue, though. He is not going to produce a season like he did this year, ever again. It's impossible for him to do. It's impossible.
I also won't be surprised if he starts next year slow out of the gate.
Well, no, I'm just saying it's just impossible for him to duplicate what he did this season. For a lot of reasons, Matt. And he may end up, for example, hitting, I don't know, let's pick a number, 42 home runs, drive in 102 runs. Okay?
That'd be a good year following what he did last year.
All right. But it's a drop off from what he did this year. And they needed, as a team, all of those runs last year.
Fair.
Right? And it's an older team. The Yankees are not a young team. Now let's take the Phillies. Phillies, in a lot of ways, are a younger team. I mean, look at Bohm, look at Stott. You know, Turner's 30. Harper's in the prime of his career. You know, but even Harper, I mean, he's banged up too. I mean, so that, you know, that's an issue because Harper needs surgery. Harper may not be able to play till when? May?
Yeah, probably you're not looking at it till at least May. He had Tommy John, so.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, and who knows? I mean, does Judge get hurt, get banged up? You know, I mean, but it's a 9-year deal at 360. It sounds like the Giants went 10 years at 360. So he's going to get $40 million a year instead of 36.
And then the Padres got in there, too. They were close to $400 million.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And then Hal Steinbrenner came in there at the last minute and said, do you want to be a Yankee? Aaron Judge says, yes, I just need a 9th deal. And he came in and closed the deal. So I have to give Hal a lot of credit because I've ripped him a lot last week and a half. He got this done himself.
Well, he had to. I think he knew he had to.
Yeah.
And that's, hey, look, that's the, you know, it's the name of the game. And they've got the money to do it. Now, the Yankees stayed the same with us. As I mentioned, the Phillies, for example, got better, right, with their deals. And the Yankees had to do this because they would have fallen back into the pack. There's no getting around it. Because, I mean, who are you going to tune for? Donaldson? I mean, Rizzo, who I like a lot, but Donaldson? No. Giancarlo Stanton? Really? I mean, no. I mean, they needed this guy, I mean, just to keep status quo.
And I think the contract works. I think it's a pretty good contract considering what the possibilities we thought about. I thought it was going to be – I thought the Yankees were going to have to spend near $400 million, and 9 years I'm okay with because that gets them to 39. It's not like you're going to pay them past 40 like I thought you were going to have to.
It doesn't matter to me. It's not my money, okay? And it's not your money either. So it doesn't you know, I mean, that part, you know, it's like, I see numbers like that and I go, oh, hey, it doesn't mean anything to me anymore. Used to, but now it doesn't really mean anything anymore. At least to me, it doesn't. It's like, all right, do you have them? How long do you have them? I mean, there's no salary cap. I mean, the Yankees aren't sitting there going, ooh, I wonder what the luxury tax is going to be. Like, let's pretend they care. XFL rules announced. Who cares?
Oh, my almighty!
I mean, another... I always love the ESPN breaking news. Like, what are you doing? Who cares? Like, hey, I'll get these alerts. XFL rules announced. Oh my goodness! I think I'll look. Give me a break. Ah. All right. But and Wilson Contreras signed with the Cardinals. I think I mentioned that. Oh, they want my feedback. How about no? All right. I always love when I get emails. How about your feedback? How about like no?
No, señor! No, señor! No, señor!
Now, we've got Santa tonight, right?
We do, followed by Shikellamy Wrestling tonight at State College, in fact. So we will not have the Michigan State game, but we will have the Illinois game on Saturday.
The NCAA has granted Virginia football players with expiring eligibility an extra year because of the shootings. Only affects a handful of players who are in their final season of eligibility. Two of those players, Billy Kemp and Keaton Thompson, have already declared for the NFL draft. Anthony Johnson, first-team All-ACC corner, just completed his sixth season, accepted an invite to the Senior Bowl. Interesting. I didn't expect that.
Because they missed what? The final two games.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Though it doesn't affect many players, so. Will Levis, by the way, is not going to play in the bowl game for Kentucky. Louisville hiring Jeff Brohm as the head football coach. So an opening at Purdue. Saquon Barkley is the Giants nominee for the Walter Payton Award as NFL Man of the Year. And LeVar Arrington officially went into the College Football Hall of Fame last night in Las Vegas. We'll take a break. We'll come back. More in a moment. Great to have you with us today on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
All right.
Nothing moves the fillings like that.
And yes, he is in his Yankee gear today as celebration.
Of the World Championship? Oh, that's right. You got to get to the World Series first. I forgot about that. There is a process.
No, that his favorite player's back. And Daddy's wearing his jersey today.
Judge ever play in a World Series game? No? Okay. Good. Trey Turner has. Yeah. Bryce Harper has. Kenley Jansen has. Wilson Contreras has.
Oh, my almighty!
I like to go with the winners. All right. So, about Jeff Brohm, you know, it's been always rumored for years that he would want to go back to his alma mater, Louisville. And he stayed at Purdue, and then finally this came up. And I don't know whether it was okay. Ooh. That's not... Penn State's going to play Michigan on the 4th. And after the Rose Bowl, Jalen Llewellyn, the starting point guard for Michigan, out the rest of the year, torn ACL. Ugh, hate to see that. Transfer from Princeton. Oh, that's awful. It is.
That's a major loss for them.
That is a big loss. And it happened in that game. I think it was in London they played. When they played Kentucky. So.
Wow.
Yeah, that stinks. Sorry, I'm a person. I hate injuries for players. But with Jeff Brohm, it's going to be interesting to see what they do. Jimmy Leonard, by the way, is going to coach the bowl game for Wisconsin, but then he is not going to stay at Wisconsin. So I don't know whether he would be a candidate for that job, but here's the issue that I would have on that end of it. All right? And hear me out on this. The issue is, what kind of program has Purdue been? Purdue has been a program that thrives on offense since Joe Tiller got there. And Brohm continued that. I think they would go with an offensive mind. You know, I'm gonna throw out a name for you that maybe you'll find interesting. And I'm not saying he's a candidate at all. Not in the least. I'm not saying he's a candidate. But how about Kellen Moore with the Cowboys? I'm just throwing that out there because, I mean, you know, NFL mind likes to throw the ball. Now I know they got a guy in staff, Ryan English, who was their defensive coordinator. So, yeah, that is definitely a possibility. So I'm not saying it's not. But I'm just throwing out, you know, you think about a job and what the personality of the program is. And believe me, I want to tell you right now, the coaching staff at Penn State has immense respect for Jeff Brohm. I mean, a lot. It's something that, you know, I remember before the Purdue game, James said, he says, you see the stuff that they do. He said, this guy can coach. So there's a lot of respect for him out there. I don't know what, it's his alma mater, but I don't know what path Louisville's on in the ACC. Now, let's face it. You look at the Big Ten, you're going to have Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, now USC entering. It's a tough road. I mean, what if they just go with 1 through 16? Look at Luke Fickell at Wisconsin. Suddenly out of nowhere. Is being in sixth place good? I'm asking. I mean, that's what you have to ask.
I think it all goes back to what Chris Solari just said, how this is going to be a war of attrition very soon.
Well, and he's not wrong. I mean, P.J. Fleck, by the way, signed a...
The extension with...
extension through 2029 with Minnesota.
That's a good move.
No, he's good for them. He is good. He is good for Minnesota. There's no getting around it. You know, I mean, you know, I'm not into the chopping wood, row the boat stuff, things like that. You know, I just don't. To me, just go out and play. That's why I was listening to a player from Navy being interviewed today about Army Navy and what it's like in the locker room before the game. And he said, look, he says, there's no rah-rah speech or anything like that. He says, if you need a rah-rah speech to go out and face Army, you shouldn't be in the locker room. And that's how I feel about most games. You need a rah-rah speech. That's why everybody like sees the movies and they go, yeah, the big speech before the game. That doesn't do anything.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai. Best in new inventory. And again, there's nothing like having a new car. And there's also nothing like having the warranty that goes with the new car. That's really an important part of this. And, you know, look, and the budget may sit back and you just may be screaming at you, I know you want a new car, but, you know, the budget may say you got to do something different. I got it. Okay. Well, you want to make sure you have the peace of and mind of the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. That's what it means. The peace of mind. That's what the Sunbury Motors Guarantee means. And a fabulous service department to back it all up. It's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Online at sunburymotors.com. Braves, Dodgers, Yankees, Mets, Phillies, Astros, Red Sox. Those are pretty much the ones that are spending the money to try and win. Meanwhile, in Pittsburgh, and we're going to get Rob Beer Temple on the show next week, they got the number one pick. And that means nothing. It's one thing to have the number one pick in the NFL. And I think it's something to be having the number one pick in the NBA. But in Major League Baseball, no. I'm laying it away. Makes little sense. Jeff Brohm leaves Purdue. He goes to Louisville. I remember the commissioner, Kevin Warren, in the preseason saying, you know what's great is all 14 coaches are back from last year. Okay, well, guess what's happened? A few games in the season, Scott Frost gone. You know? Paul Chryst, a few games of the season, gone. So now you've added in Matt Rhule at Nebraska and Luke Fickle at Wisconsin. Now you got Jeff Brohm on his own leaving. So that's the way it is. All right. Jerry Dulac now joins us from Pittsburgh. My good friend, happy holidays to you and that great family of yours.
Steve, thank you. Same to you. It's always a treat, as you know, to be on with you. I was looking forward to it. I hope all is well.
All is going great. So let's get to it. The Steelers, courtesy of the NFC South, where they're 3-0, have now built themselves to 5-7. So we'll start with the quarterback. Jerry, you've looked at one of the best in Ben Roethlisberger for years, so I'm not going to compare this kid to him in any way, shape, or form. He's got to do his own deal. In doing his own deal, are you seeing a better product every week?
Yeah, you're seeing a better product and a better quarterback, and I think the biggest thing that he has done, if not learned, because let's face it, the learning curve is still going it's going to go into year two and year three, and there'll be a big difference between year one and year two when the game slows down for Kenny Pickett in terms of progressions and everything else, and just from a comfort factor. But the biggest thing that you have seen is him wanting to protect the ball and, more importantly, doing it. It's what he said coming out of the bye. You know, he threw seven interceptions and just two touchdowns in his five games. Costly interceptions at the end against Miami and the New York Jets that cost them the game. And in his, he hasn't thrown a pick in his last 128 attempts, and he's thrown just one pick in his last 165, I think it is.
Yeah.
But since the bye, no interceptions. You see his passer rating in these four games. It's three of the four highest passer ratings he's had all year. And the offense, because of the running game, has just benefited. They're still shy of points. They're 30th in the league in scoring, or 29th. Third from the bottom in the AFC behind Houston and Denver. And their inability to score touchdowns has been a big problem, especially throwing the ball. They only have eight touchdown passes, which is the fewest in the NFL. But what you are seeing from Kenny Pickett, Steve, is what the Steelers want, and that is they don't necessarily want him to win the game. They, more importantly, don't want him to lose it. And that's what he's been doing. And since the bye, and since he has not thrown an interception, they are 3-1. Look, the way they are built, they're going to be in one-score games. They seem to be that way their entire life. But it's more so when you don't score a lot of points. You know your defense has to keep it close, and little things like a turnover, or an interception, whichever it is, whether a fumble or a pick, those are determining factors. And they've stayed away from that. He has stayed away from that. And I think it's made a big difference. I think it's why they're 3-1.
It also seems like, in conjunction with the offensive line, they're running the ball a bit better. Is that fair?
Oh, without question. These past four games, Steve, it's the most they've averaged. I think it's like 157.8. That's their highest four-game total since the first four games of Mike Tomlin's rookie year that go back to 2007. Their per game average, I want to say, is 117. That's their highest since 2011. So there's no question they are running the ball better. Most of the league is running the ball better and more frequently, and they are right in line with that. But their offensive line has been a surprise to many who saw it in the preseason and thought, wow, they brought in two guys, they re-signed Chukwuemeka. And there was no evidence that those were good moves. But you know what, Steve? They've started the same five every game. And when you have that continuity, that really helps, especially when you have some new guys. And they've been much, much improved from what we saw in the preseason. And I think that's the biggest reason. I think you see Najee Harris now. He's looked the best he has in these last three or four games. And you see him running with a purpose. And I think that's the confidence in knowing there's some holes there and there's some movement there. You see the difference in him. People ask, what's the difference? Why does he look so good all of a sudden? Well, I think that's a big reason for it. And you can't give enough credit to me to this offensive line, the way they've performed and how far they have come.
Jerry, you and I both know that T.J. Watt has been not just hurt, he's been injured. That's why he was out for a period of time. Does he look at the moment like the T.J. Watt you expect? And what kind of battle is it out there for right now? Because it doesn't even look like teams are even doubling him right now.
Yeah, he's still getting some of the T.J. Watt treatment, but what I've noticed is too many right tackles are, I'm not going to say handling him one-on-one, but doing a very good job against him one-on-one. I don't think there's any question, Steve. He's not the normal T.J. Watt. He wears a protective brace across his chest for the torn pec. He hurt his knee, which kept him on. He had a procedure which kept him on IR a little bit longer, and now he has either bruised or cracked ribs, which you saw him take himself out of the game the other day when he dove to make a tackle. I mean, he's playing when Mike Tomlin said, you know, he's playing, he's getting beat up out there, he is. And yet T.J. Watt is T.J. Watt, and that's what he does. He just keeps battling, and you can't sit him down. And so, yeah, he's not the same player. He only has half a sack in the four games since he's come back. The other day he had a flat line. I think he has like two quarterback hits. My God, Steve, he has that a lot of times in one series, let alone four games.
Yeah.
And so he's just not the same player. And yet you see teams, you know, realizing, look, it's T.J. Watt, and they're gonna give him his proper attention. But I think you're seeing a little bit more of right tackles handling him, blocking him one-on-one. But he is still getting some of the attention, just not to the degree, I don't think, that he did before. And I can't quantify which is bothering him more, whether it's the ribs or his knee, because he just doesn't seem to have that explosive push-off. You know, he's always been a hand fighter. You see him doing that.
Yeah.
But whatever it is, you know, teams have to account for him. There's no question. But he's not the same disruptive player he typically has been because of all the injuries he has.
Jerry, you brought up something in a previous answer I want to explore a little bit more. You said teams across the league, for the most part, are running the football better. Is this a product in part because we're seeing so many too high safety looks out there, cover two, because everybody's trying to stop big plays? They're trying to make you play underneath. Is this most offenses in the league reacting to that, saying, okay, if you're going to do that, we're going to run the ball more?
I don't think there's any question, Steve. I'm not going to sit there and say that's the sole reason, but that's one of them. Whatever it is, you're seeing in this league, you're seeing defenses now starting to take control. It used to be, you know, you see a lot of points being scored. That's been a rarity for the most part. And defenses have picked up on how on defending the passing games. Not everyone and not all the time, but you're seeing it more and more each week. Look at how many games where the winning team scores fewer than 20 points. It's just been amazing. Of course, the Steelers are one of them, but it's not just the Steelers in Houston and Denver. It's a lot of teams Baltimore, their last three games, they're 8-4, and they've just struggled against Carolina, Jacksonville, and Denver, three of the bottom teams in the league, and yet they're a division champ. And you see what's going on in that NFC South, as you referenced earlier. Tampa Bay could barely score points, and they scored a field goal the other day. They had a field goal till the final 3 minutes or 5 minutes, and they put up two touchdowns. It's been that way all year for them and Tom Brady. So, yeah, I think that's a big reason for it. You know, Steve, I was counting today. I think there's 27 teams who average over 100 yards rushing. That's the most. Now, look, I couldn't go back and count decade after decade, but that's the most in the last 10 years, and there's seven teams averaging more than 145 yards a game, and the Steelers are one of them.
Yep.
The Steelers are not one of them, but I'll get to the Steelers in a minute. But there's seven teams averaging more than 145 yards. 5 years ago, there was one. And so I think it just points up how teams are relying more on the run to combat the way teams are defending them against the pass.
Right. No, that's a great point, because that's what we're seeing more and more along the way. Teams are running the football this year, and I think it's a reaction to everything that you talked about. Now, the Ravens have to play this game in all likelihood with their backup, Huntley, who's not bad. But,
right.
Jerry, you've seen it. The Ravens want to play a certain way. So how dramatically different are they when it's not Jackson, even though Huntley is, I would consider him to be a very good NFL backup, but how different are they stylistically?
Well, I don't think from a style standpoint they're going to change a whole lot. It's just that Huntley isn't as dangerous as Lamar Jackson. To me, Lamar Jackson is the most unstoppable player in the league, Steve. But I will say this. The Steelers have done a good job against him. And when he's played against him, you know, he's missed three games, and this is now going to be four games that he's missed against the Steelers since he's become the starter, and he's 2-3 in the other games, and he's just had modest success. He's really never hurt them. So, you know, when they face him twice a year, and so much of what they do in the offseason is built to beat the Ravens, and in that regard, it's built to stop or control, not going to stop them, but to contain and control Lamar Jackson. And they've done a good job of that. So I don't want to say not having him isn't going to make a big difference, because he hasn't hurt them in the past. But right. I think they're going to be prepared for the same attack. It's just that, look, Huntley, he's just not Lamar Jackson, and what he can do with his feet. And to me, no quarterback in the league. You can make an argument for Justin Fields if you want, but I just think Lamar Jackson is a special player. And the fact that they've never surrounded him in the draft with the types of receivers that he needs to make him even more dangerous is just baffling to me. They can't continue to rely on him with some running backs and a tight end because, at the end of the day, teams take that away, and then he has, he doesn't have many options besides his tight end.
To amplify Jerry's point about the ability of familiarity, when the Giants beat the Ravens, it was the first time Lamar Jackson had lost to an NFC team. He had been 12-0 because they never see this type. And the Steelers see it all the time, so they know how to react to it. And that's exactly what the point you're making there, Jerry.
Yeah, and I think to take that point one step further, Steve, I think that's why the Ravens, beyond just Lamar Jackson, why they have success against NFC teams, because they don't see that type of intensity from a team in the NFC. They just don't.
Right.
The Ravens play at a whole nother level. And Mike Tomlin he kind of referenced that yesterday, and he said you have to be prepared for it because you can't warm up to it. And so when NFC teams, when they go up against the Ravens, they're not familiar with the way they play and the intensity with which they play. And, of course, the Steelers are, and, the Ravens for years have tried to match the Steelers' intensity, and the Steelers try to match the Ravens' intensity because they know what it's like.
I mentioned Watt, and so the last question I'm going to give you is about Minka Fitzpatrick. Coming off the appendectomy, he was able to get himself back in the lineup relatively quick, in part because I think it was a scope, which helps. So what difference has he made? Because he obviously had the big pick at the end of the game against the Falcons.
Steve, Minka Fitzpatrick is Minka Fitzpatrick. I mean, he's a playmaker back there. He's an all-pro for a reason. He's a big play guy. He changed the season opener in Cincinnati right off the bat with a pick six on the opening series. He's the guy who's capable of doing that, and believe me, the other teams know it. Now, there have been two instances this year where Minka did not make Minka types of plays, which is in Buffalo when Gabe Davis wrested the ball away from him in the end zone, which you just don't see, and another time in Philadelphia where he had the interception just waiting for it, and A.J. Brown slipped between him and another guy and made the catch when Minka, he just misplayed the ball. You just don't see him do that. Those are rarities for Minka Fitzpatrick. Otherwise, whether it's against the run, he's a sure tackler, whether it's tracking the ball, closing on a receiver, he's a big-time player. Somebody asked me a question today in the chat about a story in Sports Illustrated is what the question was, and I don't know. Did I see the story where T.J. Watt and Minka Fitzpatrick are overrated? And I said, I did not, and I said, that's a bunch of garbage. I said, because that's ridiculous to think that those guys are overrated. There's 31 teams in the National Football League that would die to have either one of those players, those guys on their defense. And Minka Fitzpatrick impacts the defense in a whole other way than T.J. Watt, and that's by taking the ball away and making plays.
Usually those questions come from those involved in fantasy leagues.
Right.
Jerry, always, and I mean always, a pleasure, my friend. So great to hear you. Appreciate you so much.
Well, Steve, I'm excited about the Rose Bowl. My daughter already wants to go. Unfortunately,
yeah.
I still have a couple games left with the Steelers, including one on New Year's Day in Baltimore. So I won't be able to do it, but I'm excited for them. I'm glad to see it.
Yeah, no, it's you know what? You couldn't, this season, I think it's the best landing spot they could have asked for.
Yeah, there's no question about it. And you know as well as I know, they had Ohio State and Michigan in the fourth quarter, and they let both of them get away. About now, I'd like to take one of those, but oh well, that's the way it goes.
So would I.
I bet you would.
In that spot. So would I.
Give my best to Hammer when you see him next.
I will. In fact, I'm going to call Hammer tomorrow. So, looking forward to it.
All right, man. Always good talking to you, Steve.
Thanks.
And if I don't speak to you, Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you, my friend, and your beautiful family. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Steve. See you, man.
great Jerry Dulac. We'll wrap it up in a moment here on WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
All right. Great to have you with us on the show today, brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf online, sunburymotors.com. Kevin Warren was asked today, the commissioner of the Big Ten, is the Big Ten done expanding? And his two-word answer was, for now. The SEC people have already indicated they are not expanding, at least right now. And look, once the Pac-12 gets its TV deal and everybody has settled back into grant of rights, there's not going to be expansion talk anywhere, at least for the next 5 years. Now, once we get to 5 years, and now the TV contracts start to whittle down again, you're going to have some thought on some parts about, okay, what do we do going forward? But I think once the Pac-10, Pac-12 settles its TV deal, which will be early next year, and I mean, it could be January or February, that'll bring with it a grant of rights, and I think that'll bring a settling of the landscape for at least a five-year period. Then we'll see if the Wild West of expansion occurs in about 27, 28. You might see some of that talk start again. But it's still alive until the Pac-10 has its TV deal. Hey, don't forget, talk to Santa and Shikellamy Wrestling coming up at 6 and 7, respectively.